Hey, this is Sherry Gregory, and you're listening to Grit and Grace, Good Girls Breaking Bad Rules. Joining me is my delightful co-host, Amy Carroll, just a few short days before Christmas. You all ready for the big day, Amy?
I am so ready. I've been preparing my heart by spending some time with Luke and in Liz Curtis Higgs' book, The Women of Christmas. Bring on the noise, bring on the funk. I do have two boys after all.
I love it. Well, we seriously considered not doing a podcast at all for these 2 weeks before Christmas. We know how busy this time of year is for everyone, but we think you'll be really glad you've joined us for today's holiday break. Amy, tell everyone why we changed our minds about skipping last week's and this week's episodes.
We've addressed a lot of topics in the last few weeks, but we couldn't end without the reason for the season. For these last two episodes, we want to focus on Jesus. And thankfully, our friends Susie Eller and Michelle Cushat gave us the perfect material for our focus in their interviews earlier this year.
Well, Michelle, over the years, I've read some of your blog posts, and I always love what you have to say because you're so honest. And so how does the love of God and understanding the love of God allow you to be so honest? For the rest of us, it's such a prize. It's such a treasure, Michelle. It really is.
I appreciate that. Thank you. It's goodness, you know, it is a very hard thing for me to be that exposed. I almost view it like I do going for a run. It is so painful to actually do, and yet I know it's good for me, and so I force myself through the exercise. The other motivator behind trying to be vulnerable in the blog is that there was a period of my life in the church where I went through a divorce back in the 90s. And to be a ministry person going through a divorce in the church in the 90s was not an okay thing. And I ended up feeling very alone. I was a 26, 27-year-old young single mom who wanted nothing more than to be in ministry her whole entire life. And I was divorced, and I felt like I carried around this label that excluded me from any kind of participation in the kingdom of God. And that loneliness was devastating for me. And I remember sitting in a counselor's office, and she's like, "Why is this so painful for you? Why is this bringing up so much emotion for you?" And my comment to her was, "Because I never want anybody to feel that alone. I never want anybody to feel that alone." And so that is truly, I don't even know if I've shared this anywhere else before, but that's truly a driving force in why I write the way that I do, because nobody finds companionship in perfection. I mean, nobody finds comfort in somebody else's shiny, polished, perfect life. Nobody does. But boy, we find great company with somebody who's bleeding like we are, and with somebody who's grieving like we are, and with somebody who knows what it's like to doubt or to question or to struggle. As best as I can, I want to be the church through the blog or through the book or through these conversations like today's podcast, because there is no reason why any one of us should have to go through the unexpected life alone.
Well, and that kind of transparency is a good weapon against perfectionism.
It is, absolutely. So I know it's good for me, even though it's hard. I know it's good for everybody else. The hard part, back to our topic today, though, is when you make yourself that vulnerable, you completely open yourself up to criticism and to misunderstanding and to conflict and all of that. I mean, you cannot, again, the whole idea of vulnerability is letting your guard down and pulling your shield down for a minute. And so the truth is that people will misunderstand you. They will criticize. They will disagree. And disagreement's not bad, but for those of us who are perfectionists, we don't even like disagreement. So those are realities. And so choosing to be vulnerable and authentic is truly something that I do too, because I know my own sense of my own rough edges need the softening that comes with that kind of exposure.
I always saw disagreement as invalidation and of who I was, and thus annihilation. Like, if you disagree with me, I don't exist. I mean, that was kind of...
It's a personal attack, right? Because if you don't agree with me, that means I'm dumb and what I had to say wasn't worth it or wasn't valid. Yeah, absolutely. Ask my husband. That's all I need to say. Are we still recording?
Yeah, actually. Of course. Seeking that kind of validation also meant that I was limiting myself in terms of growth. I surrounded myself with people who agreed with me, which was fun, but
stagnant, though.
Yes.
You know, it's fun and it's easy and it's comfortable, but it's incredibly stagnant. You will not grow in that place. You will not be challenged in that place. And you even might be buying into a complete false way of living simply because you haven't invited or allowed any other dialogue or conversation. So it's an interesting thing. It's a very safe way to live, but it's really not living, I don't think. I think it's a prison.
No, I agree.
Well, that whole, you know, being able to receive disagreement and offer it, there's really no room for perfectionism there. And so that's the odd thing, is that we really need people to be trustworthy, insightful, wise mentors. But nobody will have the courage to do that if we haven't demonstrated that we're okay with missteps and failures. And, you know, if we're not okay with things not being perfect, it's not a safe thing for anybody to do. And so, I mean, it just takes both. It takes two people who are equally comfortable with their own failures and have that kind of humility around their life. And then both people who are equally comfortable with the sovereignty of God to even have those engaging discussions.
So once again, perfectionism is self-reinforcing externally as well as internally, because yes, I will choose the people I allow in my life or the conversations I will allow to happen based on wanting them to agree with me. And so one way out of perfectionism is learning to tolerate. I won't say embrace. I'll just say, yeah, you can see my face.
I'm feeling the nausea again. I can just feel it coming.
Learning to tolerate disagreement. And, you know, I've started seeing a new counselor in our first session together. She pointed out something that had never occurred to me. She said, inconvenience is normal.
Oh, I know. It's so true, but isn't that so, like, revolutionary?
I'm like, oh, really?
Yeah, I would even take it further, because as I'm raising my children, I think of how often I have tried to prevent any kind of discomfort for them. I mean, as mothers, right, our goal is to make their life as comfortable and happy as possible. And yet I'm now realizing that I'm doing them a disservice, because they aren't being trained in the reality that life is unexpected and that inconvenience is normal. They don't know how to cope with that if I'm constantly preventing any kind of mishap. And so how to appropriately and, you know, age appropriately and wisely allow them to experience the inconvenience of life and the unexpected nature of life, so they realize that this is normal. And that they can't have the expectation that every person behaves the way they want them to behave and that everything's going to go according to plan. It's just not realistic.
I do want to talk about the post you put up on Facebook that then became a blog post that you then ended up sharing this. You said, I'm learning that the more passionate, vulnerable, and heartfelt your words, the more you open yourself up to criticism and misunderstanding. That isn't always easy for this girl to take. For that reason, I'm contemplating writing about safer topics, perhaps 3 steps to eating a chocolate bar, or the 4 reasons why sleep is the best part of every day, or for the win, donuts, the sacred calling, worthy topics, and far less conflict. So my question is, how do you keep helping hurting people when you know they're going to hurt you back? What keeps bringing you back to topics other than, although I think we should definitely have you back on for Donuts, the Sacred Calling. Oh, yes, I definitely want that one.
I want that book.
I love donuts. And since I lost most of my taste because of cancer, I can't taste much anymore. And donuts is one of the things that I really miss. So God and I have agreement, or at least I've made the agreement, and I'm assuming God is in full support of it. But that, you know, when everybody else has a wedding supper of the lamb, mine's going to be donuts.
Yes.
Excellent plan.
So anyway, we can do that podcast later. So how do you help hurting people when you know you're going to get hurt in the process? And boy, that is a very tough thing to do. And some days I want to run away. I have a couple of close friends that I confess quite often. I think today I'm going to quit. I think today I'm going to be done, and I'm just going to stay home and read novels and make cookies for my family. This has been fun, but see y'all later. I mean, it's just a very hard thing to do. And so the temptation is always to, we don't like pain. I mean, we just don't like pain. And so our natural inclination is to shrink back from anything that's painful. So how do I press into it? It begins here, and this, I might get emotional here. I I can't stop thinking about the cross. The place of God's greatest pain was the place of God's connection to us. The very place that caused him to bleed out and die was the only place where we could finally approach him. And if he had shirked back from pain and suffering to preserve himself, we'd all be completely lost. And so if I'm serious about this call to be a Jesus follower, I have to be willing to lean into the pain and not run away from it. I have to. And so that's where it starts for me. It has to start there. The irony that it was at the place of suffering that relationship finally happened. But then the second is the fact that just remembering that those who strike out and wound me in return, or they're coming from a place where they're bleeding, they're hurt. I've been that person before who retaliated in the middle of my pain. And it wasn't personal to the person I retaliated against. It had nothing to do with them. It had everything to do with the fact that I felt like I was dying on the inside. So remembering what that felt like and having some empathy for that other person and their pain that may cause them to act out that way helps significantly. And then, you know, the third step or whatever you want to call it is just that I have to be doing the homework to shoring up my identity in my individual, quiet, personal life before I ever become public. The only way for my identity to withstand the beating that we sometimes take is for my eggs not to be in all of those baskets. I know where my eggs are. My sense of self is very much shored up in the reality of the fact that there's this creator who's perfect that for whatever reason decided to pick me, and I have no idea. And nobody can take that away. Nobody. And he picks me when I was already broken in a mess. So that means I don't have to perform for him. And so having that established and reminding myself of that, then if somebody is offended by something I write, perhaps I was wrong. Okay, live and learn. Perhaps I was right and they're just having a hard time receive it. Okay, that's all right too. Perhaps it's a shade of both. Okay, guess what? I'm not sovereign, never claimed to be sovereign. I know who is. Story done. And so kind of mentally processing through those things is helping me learn how to allow myself to step into an environment where hurt people may turn around and hurt me in return. And besides all of that, I use humor quite often.
And a wicked strain of sarcasm that I love.
I'm sorry about that. Yes. But, you know, as I told a friend yesterday, humor helps it all go down a bit easier. So
I'm convinced that sarcasm is a spiritual gift that just got left out of scripture. And I think it's kind of speaking in tongues. So, but on a serious note, you know, thank you so much for sharing that, because just listening, something hit me that's never really struck me before. In one of our previous interviews, Amy was sharing that she comes from a very loving family. And so figuring out where her perfectionism comes from, there's no easy source. Whereas in my case, I had a very distant mother. We had attachment issues. And so I've always kind of laid the blame there. And kind of given myself a pass. Well, of course, I don't know how to do certain things because I never had a mother to teach me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, how's a girl supposed to know how to do these things without a good role model? Uh-huh. I've been raised as a Christian, and I had lots of gold stars on my memory charts. I've never thought of looking at Christ as my role model as to how to treat people who are hurting me. I'm a little embarrassed to say that, because I guess it should have been obvious, but it wasn't. And I'm recognizing that we can all go to the cross and we can look at Christ as a role model of how perfect love deals with pain. Mm-hmm. That's powerful. That's powerful for me.
I thought that when you finished, I thought, I feel braver just hearing Michelle say all of that. I do. And that, I just can't stop thinking about the cross. That's going to ring around in my heart and in my spiritual ears for a long, long time.
I'm so glad. Just to make you feel better, Sherry, that is a relatively new insight for me. I mean, within the last few months.
Okay, I was going to say, I don't expect that I know everything that's going through your head, but I haven't heard you say that before, so I'm excited.
That's a new, you know, God's always doing a new thing, and I'm so grateful for that. But, you know, I've been going to church since I was 6 months old. That's a relatively new insight as far as, you know, we've heard about the cross. We talk about Jesus's willingness to give up, like, his divine experience for a human experience, and, you know, we get all of that. But to understand that we really could not approach God until that moment on the cross, and that was the supreme moment of his pain and suffering, that's been really big for me. And so in multiple ways, you know, as far as our relationship with others, but also in my own sense of it's often when we are hurting that we feel God is furthest, and perhaps we are very grossly mistaken, because when we are in suffering, that's perhaps when we're the closest to the cross, when he was closest to us. It's an interesting thought, huh?
Oh, sorry for the pause. Slow processor here. It's just sinking in.
Well, I'm still exploring all of that, but there, and we know this, right? As believers, we sit there, and God's made it very clear. The cross was it. The cross was it. But I don't think we fully understand the ramifications or the implications of what that means on a personal basis for us. Personal.
Maybe I need a tattoo of the cross. A temporary tattoo. So
I actually did, is I got a tiny little wooden cross, especially while I was so sick, and I held on to that as a reminder that it all comes back to that. So that's been a big, you know, just a token, but something for me to hold and remind myself that that's really the anchor of who I am.
Well, some of us need these reminders, because at least me, I forget everything so fast.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, me too. I'm with you.
That was amazing.
I think we just had church.
I found myself tearing up over and over, not because she was so emotional, but the truth she was saying was like, boom, boom. Amazing, amazing.
If you head on over to the webpage for today's episode at gritandgracegirls.com, that's grit, the letter N, grace, girls, all one word, .com, you'll find several free downloadables, including this week's permission slip. It's a reminder that you don't have to obey the bad rule that says, I should shut out all the people who hurt me.
Instead, you can focus on the fact that God gives the imperfect grace to walk together in Christ.
We hope you've enjoyed episode 28 of Grit and Grace, Good Girls Breaking Bad Rules.
Join us for next week's final holiday break episode, then we'll be wrapping it all up.
For today, grow your grit, embrace God's grace, and when you grin across a bad rule, you know what to do. Go right on ahead and break it.